1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, yep, it is Tuesday, July 25th, 2023. My neck hurts walking my way over to the talking spot. Like, my shirt has rubbed my neck the wrong way. Chased it. Making our way. It's 1908 UTC. I'm late today. Ugh, feel gross. I'm too full and it's too hot. Yes, is the problem. Oh, that's why. Alright, we're close enough. I can see my phone now at least. It is 36 degrees today, high of 38, and it's 1909 UTC. Jumping on into COM, all you gotta do is SSH over to sdf.org and launch COM. COM, press enter, and G for go to, and a non radio, all lowercase, all one word. And as long as your name isn't like L10101011L or something, come on in and chat. shout out to everybody in COM, Jay Lamothe, Quentin, SQW, Ratsu. Man, there are a lot of cars. I don't know why. There must be some kind of crowdsourced 18-wheeler app, because this road that I'm next to is like a little neighborhood road. And these 18-wheelers, it's only the car haulers, but they seem to know that they can cut across from one highway to the other. But yeah, that's why, I don't know if you heard it, but the roads technically connect, but if you have any kind of trailer, you're gonna scrape because the roads are way different grades. Anyway, sorry, I'm full, I'm very tired, I'm sad, mad, I'm just a mess. Let's check in with COM. Hey, SQW got their first shout out. Hello. So yeah, Jay Lamothe pointing out, you mean like CB? But yeah, hello everybody. Let's jump into some news. I'm feeling all kinds of ways, and it's probably best just to stick to the news, stick to the facts, as opposed to getting myself into trouble. Just go over to desktop bookmarks, bookmarks menu, go over to news to me, and today, well, today is July 25th, so I better hit refresh or sync, because it is not July 24th. Syncing. Done. Bookmarks. All right, here we go. Bookmarks, July 25th. So we start with death and destruction, like always. So first, loading. Officer killed, three others hurt in deadly escape bid from an Uzbekistan terror suspects in Jakarta. Indonesia's arrest of four suspected terrorists from Uzbekistan and their subsequent deadly escape attempt highlights how Southeast Asia remains vulnerable to dangers of radicalization, the Singapore authorities warned on Monday. The four, from age 26 to 40, were first arrested in the Indonesian capital of Jakarta on March 24th. Three of them were combat-trained members of a militia group, Katiba Tawhid Wal Jihad, or KTWJ, which is linked to terror group Al-Qaeda, while the fourth had provided financial assistance and fake travel documents. Three suspects later broke out of a detention facility, killing one officer and injuring three others in the process. Two were recaptured and one drowned in his bid to escape. The report, which takes stock of the security environment in the region, said one of the suspects was responsible for recruiting and sending prospective operatives to KTWJ while he was based in Turkey. The four had arrived separately in Indonesia in February from Istanbul, transiting through Abu Dhabi, the UAE, and Malaysia. The suspects disseminated extremist propaganda materials to recruit like-minded Indonesians to connect terror attacks. One suspect reportedly married an Indonesian woman to facilitate the four suspects' travel to the archipelago. About a fortnight after their arrest, three of them escaped from an immigration detention facility. During the escape, they stole a knife from a pantry at the detention center and fatally stabbed an officer and injured three others. This was during the Islamic holy month of Ramadan, when Muslims fast from dawn to dusk. The suspects reportedly broke through the ceiling of the room they were detained in and attacked officers who were having their pre-dawn meal. Two of the escapees were recaptured in a police manhunt, while the third drowned. So, yeah, wild, right? Hey. I don't see them, but hello to Magic Pants. Welcome, I guess. Welcome. Okay, X1, welcome. Hello, everybody. LCD is how here. SQW is here. What's juicy? stick to the bookmarks, pals. Just the links and only the links. Oh, yeah. So anyway, that's what's going on there in Jakarta in Indonesia. But don't worry, there's death and destruction everywhere. If you remember, there's all these protests going on in Israel because who would have thought the far right-wing government has done what far right-wing governments do and has disabled the judiciary. But no, that's not where the death and destruction is. Because if there's one thing the Israeli government doesn't want to do is harm Israeli citizens. Because then it couldn't do this. Three Palestinians were killed by Israeli forces in occupied West Bank. Three Palestinians have been shot dead by the Israeli military in the northern occupied West Bank. The latest deaths in a surge of violence in the territory. Three Palestinians have been killed by Israeli bullets in Nablus, the Palestinian Health Ministry said on Tuesday, adding the identity of those killed was unknown. The Israeli army said three armed terrorists had opened fire on its soldiers from a vehicle, and the troops fired back to neutralize them. Hamas claimed the three men as members of the group. Nablus is the territory's commercial capital and a major focus of the Israeli military's raids. Palestinian media described the killings as an ambush following the Palestinians' alleged attack on Israeli forces near a Jewish settlement overlooking Nablus. Palestine TV showed footage of a military vehicle blocking access to the area, including an ambulance, as soldiers appeared to conduct an inspection. The Israeli military said it confiscated three M16 rifles and other rough equipment from their car. So, just a little update, a little extra death and destruction for you from Israel. Shocked Pikachu.jpg. I love it. A ambush, yeah. Alright, so that's what's going on there. But don't worry, there's more death. More bodies. We need a higher body count.
Come on, can we call in a higher body count? We need more death.
Okay, let's go to Somalia. What? Yeah, let's go to Somalia. There's still news there. Our friends in Somalia say at least 20 soldiers were killed in a suicide attack. An Islamist suicide bomber blew himself up inside a Somali army camp in Mogadishu on Monday and killed at least 20 soldiers. The attack, which occurred at the Jali Sayyad Military Academy, was claimed by the Al-Qaeda-linked Al-Shabaab group. More than 20 people died in the explosion. A member of the Somali parliament told AFP, "The victims are soldiers who were defending their country against terrorists." Excuse me. Another parliamentarian, who asked to remain anonymous, reported 27 dead and around 60 injured. The suicide bomber managed to enter the base where the 14th Infantry Brigade was about to begin a refresher course and detonated their explosive vest. It was in a nearby military camp when the explosion We rushed to the scene. It was horrible, a member of the army said. Investigation is still ongoing and the death toll could be higher. So, yeah. That's one way to get your point across. Go blow up some soldiers. They were doing their training, so we'll see how that goes. Oh, it's warm. It's warm and it's making me sleepy. What's going on in Com? Oh, we're talking about a ambush. Yep. Alrighty. Let's keep on going. Stick to the bookmarks.
Stick to the bookmarks, Marcus.
All right, the next book, Marcus, is from Greece. Two have died in a Greece plane crash as fires burn around the Mediterranean. A plane fighting wildfires has crashed on the Greek island of Evia, killing two crew members. The Greek Air Force pilots were tackling a blaze when the aircraft smashed into a hillside. Meanwhile, Crete, the largest of the Greek islands, has been put on high alert because of an extreme risk of fire. Hundreds of tourists have already been evacuated from the island of Rhodes. A European heat wave. Oh, look! Another heavy truck. Will they meet the same fate as... Oh, look! And another heavy truck!
Yeah.
I'm guessing that they must have... They must be using their CB radio to communicate, because this road isn't made for those big trucks, but they sure as hell are using it. That's frustrating. I don't really use the road, but they just repaved the road because it was torn up, and I guess that might be why the road was torn up. That's quite a bit of heavy truck traffic. Probably like 6 or 7 trucks in the last 10 minutes or so. Anyway, European heat wave causing fire, killing lots of people. Very sad. Nice tires. Oh yeah, X1, good point. Maybe it's a GPS update. Maybe the GPS maps are now like saying, hey, you should take this route. We'll see, I guess. There's a lot of stranger danger on this road. I don't like it. And a lot of poor lane control. I wish I could sit here and count how many cars swerve between all three lanes of the road. Because it's a high count. Anyway, sorry, I'm all over the place. It's because I'm in a weird state. Okay, Democratic Republic of Congo has some news for us. The soldier responsible for a family massacre has been arrested. The Congolese soldier allegedly responsible for a family massacre that killed 13 people, including 9 children, on Saturday in Ituri in the northeast of the DRC was arrested and will be tried on Tuesday. According to testimonies collected on Sunday, the soldier had not supported that one of his children, who died in his absence, was buried without his being informed. Returning to the locality of the death, the fishing village of Nyakova in the territory of Dugu, he opened fire on the people gathered for the mourning of the child. 13 of them, including at least 9 children, were killed. According to an army spokesman, 2 of the soldier's own children were among the dead. So one of his children died, and they buried him without letting him see the boy before they buried him. And so he just killed the whole family. Like, okay, that sucks. That's a wild thing to do in grief. Yep. Quentin knows what's up. Commercial trucks on not commercial roads. Oops. Let's see what happens. My comm was freaking out. Alright, I'm back. Okay. I'm trying not to get in a mean way, but I feel it coming on, so I'm going to try and hurry. U.S. Capitol rioter who beat officer with a flagpole has been sentenced. An Arkansas man who used the pole of an American flag to batter a fallen police officer during the U.S. Capitol attack has received a 52-month jail term, which is, what, four years and some change. Peter Francis Steger helps drag the officer down the steps of the Capitol, then forcibly and repeatedly struck him. He was also captured on video saying, "Death is the only remedy for the lawmakers inside the building." Over 1,000 people have been charged in connection with the Capitol riot. He's a 44-year-old truck driver from Conway, Arkansas, and pled guilty in February to felony charge of assaulting police. He was identified 6 days after the attack by an informant who told the FBI he recognized Stager from videos posted on Twitter. One video shows him climbing the steps of the Capitol holding a flagpole affixed with the American flag. So, yeah. Oh, yeah, good point. X1 pointing out here, there is 8 minutes to go before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, a show that airs every goddamn day right here on Anon Radio at 1930 UTC.
Oh, man.
I don't know what it is. My mood and energy is everywhere today. Well, all the time now. It's very frustrating. Okay, we're focused. We're doing news. We got some more news for you, so we'll finish it out. We're rounding it out. Let's do this. All right. So we talked about rice. Here's an official story. India's move to ban certain rice exports has sparked some panic buying in various countries, with videos on social media showing bags of the staple food flying off the shelves and long lines outside grocery stores. From the U.S. to Canada and Australia, reports of overseas Indians stocking up are going viral. Some shops have imposed buying limits, while others hike prices to cash in on the frenzy. Indian restaurants are worrying about a shortage. Rice is vital to the diet of billions in Asia and Africa. India's restrictions, which apply to shipments of non-basmati white rice, are aimed at controlling local prices, but they add to the strains in global food markets that have already been roiled by bad weather and the worsening conflict in Ukraine. Over the past few days, we've started buying maybe twice as much rice as usual, so we had to restrict, said Mr. Shishir Shima, a manager of MGM Spices, an Indian grocery store in Surrey Hills in Australia. The store is now allowing customers to buy only one 5-kilogram bag of rice each. Some people get mad when we won't let them buy more than one bag, but we won't let them. And the U.S. video showed people caught up in a buying frenzy. Bloomberg could not independently verify the authenticity. Some South Asian grocery stores in Toronto have also implemented buying restrictions. So, looking a little tough there. I have a 5-kilogram bag of rice at home that I've just barely opened, so that should last me for a couple months, so I'm not going to worry about it too hard for now. What else is happening? Well, let's talk about a trans athlete real quick. In their opening match against Nigeria, Canada midfielder Quinn became the first out transgender player at a FIFA World Cup. Like their style of play, it was done with minimal fuss. Quinn is a key part of Canada's midfield, their place as the midfield anchor crucial as the Olympic champions aim to add the 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup trophy to their cabinet. They played the full 90 minutes against Nigeria, and the result was a goalless draw. But the Canadian number five's role created history. Quinn came out as non-binary in September 2020, dropping their old name, asking to be known only by a mononym, a name composed only one word, and saying they would use the pronouns they, them. They've been an important figure for the national setup since making their senior international debut in 2014, when they became teammates with players who had shown them there was a future in football. Seeing the women's national team and fortunately being able to interact with some of them was hugely important for me in understanding there was a pathway for me. Now Quinn is looking to help drive their country's bid for glory, just as they did at Tokyo Olympics. However, the significance of their gender identity, especially given the ongoing and often fraught conversation, can't be ignored. The story goes on and on. As with most people pieces, it just goes on and on about their life and how they feel and what their favorite color is. But I think that's the bulk of the information. Oh my gosh, I'm so sick of all the giant trucks people drive to the fucking office. It's like you're driving to an office job. You're not hauling horses or hay or something. Why are you buying $100,000 truck? What else is going on? Ban on internet access cripples life in India's Manipur state. Sorry, I got, I'm losing it. It's okay though. We're gonna recoup what we've got, because we've got 3 minutes to go before the Dubious Goals Committee. So let me just tell you about a cool Belgian piece of news. Binding agreement on Belgian reactor operations due in October. A framework agreement to extend the operation of the Dole 4 and Tihange 3 power reactors by 10 years has been signed between French. Gosh darn it, ads. French utility ENGIE and the Belgian federal government. Meanwhile, Belgium's Federal Agency for Nuclear Control has set out its expectations regarding nuclear safety for the extended operation of the unit. So this will be very cool. We'll keep nuclear power going in Belgium for a little while longer. And studies are exploring the use of nuclear propulsion in shipping. A study commissioned by the American Bureau of Shipping has explored the potential of advanced nuclear reactor technology for commercial maritime propulsion. Whilst a study led by the UK-based innovative reactor developer Nucleo will consider the feasibility of nuclear applications to the shipping industry, including the firm's small modular lead-cooled fast reactor technology. ABS commissioned Herbert Engineering Corporation to carry out a study designed to help the shipping industry better understand the feasibility and safety implications of nuclear propulsion and to support future development projects. The study, which involved input from leading nuclear reactor developers, modeled the impact of nuclear propulsion on the design, operation, and emissions of a container vessel and a Suezmax tanker.
More 18-wheelers. Jeepers creepers. Anyway, please stick around for the Dubious Goals Committee and other fun shows and less angry people. I'm in a mad, sad kind of way, but we'll deal with it, I guess, or I'll deal with it, but I'll be back tomorrow. Until then, please enjoy the Dubious Goals Committee. Bye bye.